Hey, Annette. Sometimes when it comes to sharing a message or when you're trying to get a point across, it's nice to be able to tell stories that kind of go along with it or something that kind of emphasizes the point. Jesus told a lot of stories, but he also used parables. He used things that were kind of an allegory. We talked about the sower and the seed, and then he explained it later that the seed was the word of God and, you know, that you're sowing into people's lives. And so this message is going to be a little more along that line where you get a little more of the allegory, a little more of the message behind the message, and I think you'll be able to figure it out as we go along. But let's start with prayer. Father God, we're here because of you. Father, we want to enter in and press into all that you are and all that you have, all that you've done, and understand it and know it, Father, and let it do something in our life, Lord, for your glory, that our lives are changed and transformed, that we are growing in faith and understanding of you, but not just for our own benefit, but for the benefit of the kingdom of God. The people's lives around us are then changed and transformed because of the understanding that we walk away with. Father, we love you. Thank you for your work and what you've done for us. Thank you for the love that you have for us and what you did through Jesus to put us in a place of righteousness with you. Father, we're loving you. Praise you. Thank you for this word, Lord. Encourage us with it. Take us deeper than we've been with you, Father, and glorify your name through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, anybody heard of the Apostle Paul? Everybody heard of Paul. Paul had a famous line as he's writing to the Romans, the Christian Romans. He had a line in there in Romans 3:23. It's often quoted. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Okay, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And for some reason, God said, focus on come short. What does that mean, to come short of the glory of God? What was he trying to do? Paul was trying to make a point that nobody could save themselves. Okay? You can't save yourself from your sins. And so when compared to a holy God, a righteous God, we all fell short. Okay? All have fallen short. Come short. Okay? Therefore, we all come into the world needing a Savior. We all need Jesus. Right? Because we've fallen short. Okay? Jesus was the one that lived the perfect and the sinless life. He's the one that never fell short and met every expectation of God. Okay, now, many of you are pretty upstanding Christians, and you live out your life pretty well, but it'd be hard for any one of us to say, you know, I have met every expectation of God in my flesh, especially before coming to know Jesus. Now, afterwards, we're washed in his blood, we're clothed in his robe of righteousness. Things have changed. We can be pleasing to God now. Okay, but beforehand, we were never able to. So to come short of the glory of God, I came up with sort of an allegory or a way to be able to explain it. But it'd be like if you were in a major competition and the grand prize was $1 trillion. Okay, it is something that is so much, so valuable that even, you know, Bill Gates and Donald Trump kind of guys are like, I want that grand prize, right? It is that big of a prize. You're in a contest like that, and the only one that gets the prize, there's only one prize given out, and it's for first place. To come short of the glory of God means that we came in somewhere other than first place. It doesn't matter where it is, because it doesn't matter. If there's only a prize for first, yeah, if there's only a prize for first place, and that's $1 trillion, everybody else gets nothing. Okay, there's no consolation prize, there's no thanks for showing up prize, you don't get a t-shirt, there's nothing, right? It's either the $1 trillion or that's it. Okay, so we ran that and we came in somewhere other than first place. Paul was reminding us that all the blood, sweat, and tears, okay, all the effort that you can muster up was not enough to win the prize of salvation and right standing with God. Okay, mankind had tried for thousands of years, even before Jesus. They've tried before you tried it. Okay, and all had fallen short of that grand prize. Okay, Jesus, on the other hand, competed in the exact same competition that you and I have as a man, and he came in first place. Okay, he obtained the grand prize. He did not fall short or come short in any way at all. Okay, so being good sports, because we're Christians, right? So we are now, at least. But being good sports, we went to Jesus as the first place winner, to congratulate him for taking that top spot. We went to him because he ran the same race that we did. We did not win first place and get the prize. He did and got it. Okay, so we go to Jesus to congratulate him for winning that top spot, for coming in first place. We go to him and went to him knowing that he is the greatest in the entire universe. He is the one that did what we could not do.
Amen.
Okay, so we go to Jesus. That's your coming to Jesus moment, right? When you go to Jesus to congratulate him for being the best, he lovingly turns to you and hands you the entire sum of that grand prize. And he says, here, you can have this. I was actually running the race for you, and I won it for you. And so he hands you that prize. Okay? That's what falling short or coming in short means. We didn't get the prize. Jesus did. But when we go to him to congratulate him and say, great job, Jesus, you did what we couldn't do, he hands you the prize and it becomes yours. Okay, there's another place in the Bible where God talks about coming up short or falling short. And it's where the writer of Hebrews is explaining to us about the great and precious promise that has been given to us by Jesus Christ. And he was concerned that God's people would, quote, come short of it. Okay, Jesus has given you this prize, and some of you, I'm afraid, will come short of it unless he explains it to us. So he says he's giving it to us, or wants to explain it to us, because he is concerned that God's people would come short of it and not be at the right place at the right time to receive of that prize. Okay, see, when it comes to receiving the prize of your salvation through Jesus, the only condition is that you meet him at the finish line. Okay? Before he completed what he completed, before he did what he did, people hung around Jesus. But it was only at the finish line where it became a prize-winning effort. Okay? The devil could have tripped him up one more time. Anybody ever see, there's a horrible, I never recommend watching movie, called The Last Temptation of Christ. Anybody ever heard of that? It's about when someone comes and tempts, the devil comes and tempts Jesus one last time on the cross, and he comes down off the cross and doesn't finish. Okay, it's a horrible portrayal of Christianity and that whole message, but that could have happened, okay, right up until the end. So the devil, in all of his efforts, was still active trying to get Jesus to throw away the effort that he was doing and not win that prize right up to the very end. Okay, so the writer of Hebrews is telling us that he wants us to be at the right place at the right time to receive the prize. Okay? When it comes to receiving that prize of salvation, the only condition is that you meet him at the finish line. Okay? Because that's where you see what he has done. You see that he just won the race for you. He did what you could not do, and you go to him to esteem him highly for winning that prize. Congratulations, Jesus. That's when he gives you the prize. You're right there at the finish line. The reference that we're about to read in Hebrews has a similar condition, okay, where we must meet him at the finish line. You still meet him at that same place, okay? It'll make sense as we go along, I hope. Hebrews 4:1. He says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it, okay? The promise that he has given to us is the wonderful promise of rest. It is a place that is available for every believer where you no longer have fear or have to fear condemnation. It's a place where you no longer have to fear or suffer from inadequacy, feeling like you're not good enough for God, okay? Feeling like you come up short, feeling like you're not doing enough. Okay, that place of rest is where you do not have to be concerned about rejection by God because of your shortcomings. Okay, I don't know about you guys, if anybody ever trips, stumbles, falls, any of that kind of stuff, but at that moment, and sometimes for several hours, days, even weeks, years later, people are still feeling like I've messed up and God's, you know, pulling back from me. God has rejected me in some way because of that. That place of rest is a place where we learn not to do that. It is a place we enter into where we don't have to feel that condemnation on and on and on. The goal of attaining that rest that is available was obtained by Jesus Christ. It was accomplished by Him, but it is up to us to go to Jesus to receive it. Okay, it's like if we want to receive the prize and the promise of rest, we need to go to the finish line where He won it. Okay, see, that promise of rest came with the $1 trillion. Okay, it came with the grand prize that He won. It was something that He won. It's part of what He gave you when you went to congratulate Him. Okay, when you went to go say thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me, He gave you the trillion and the rest at that moment. Okay, but it'd be pretty silly if you know, if you're at the finish line and you see who won the race, we see Jesus win the race, but then we go to somebody else and ask them for the $1 trillion. Okay, it wouldn't make any sense. There's only one prize. You didn't win it. That other guy didn't win it. That guy didn't win it. Only Jesus won that prize. Okay, so it'd be pretty silly to go anywhere else for the $1 trillion or for the rest. Okay, because that rest is only in Him. Okay, it doesn't make any sense why some people would just take the $1 trillion and not the rest of the prize as well. Okay, that's a pun. You guys are following. Why would you take just the $1 trillion and not the rest of the prize as well, right? It's all one prize. The writer here in Hebrews says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise that's been left of rest, that we should seem to come short of it or that we would fail to obtain that. Okay, he admonishes us to fear so that we don't come up short of that rest, that we don't, you know, think about it, but we never obtain that rest. That word fear in the Greek is the word phobio, okay, and it means, among reverence is a key part of it, but it also means to be alarmed and to be made immediately aware. Okay, to fear. To be alarmed and immediately aware. Okay, now, anybody ever been in like a workplace or a hotel or back in school when they would pull the fire alarm and it makes that sound and the lights flash and it's brr, brr, brr. Okay, it's time to move, right? It's an alarm that goes off that tells you that it's time to get out of the building. It's time to do something. Okay, everybody is instantly made aware of the impending danger. Okay, so when he says fear, he's saying be instantly aware of the impending danger of not entering into this rest. Okay, you want to be alarmed. You want to be instantly aware or to fear, knowing that there is a prize and promise of rest that you want to attain and maintain. Okay, you want that prize. Okay, that rest is not something that we should view as optional. If you're in a burning building and the alarm goes off and you hear that alarm, it's time to get up off the couch, right? It's time to get up and do something to move on out. Anybody ever been in a hotel when that alarm goes off? This one across the street over here was going off the other day, and I kept telling Margie, do you hear that? It sounds like the sound system's on, or maybe one of the boys' computers is beeping or something. And it was that high-pitched chirp, 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 and you could hear it, you know, a block or however far away that is. You can still hear that. That's how loud those are. Nobody, I don't know if you've ever been in, I've been in them. You don't sit in your hotel room, because even doing this is not enough. Those things are so loud in those rooms and the lights are flashing and all that stuff. It prompts you to do something. Okay? Get up and move. Get up and do something. That's what he is saying, is that let us therefore get up and do something. Okay? Be alarmed. Let it strike you as something that needs to be done, that you move to action. Because the rest that Christ provided for us is critical for your Christian walk. That's where your peace and your joy in the salvation that He has given you comes from. It's in that rest. It's in Him. Okay, you enter into that rest when you put your faith in Him. Okay, and it started when you put your faith in Him for eternal life. Okay, we give our life to Christ. Say, my life is yours. We met Him at that finish line, and that's where it begins. Okay, if you believe that Jesus washed you clean, He saved you from your sins, then you maintain that same faith in Him, that trust that what He did was enough for me all the way to the end. okay, and not start thinking that what he did was enough for me to get me saved, but now it's up to me. Okay, that's where Christians go automatically. That's the pull of the getting back under the law-based mentality where, you know what, I got to do this and do that in order to stay right with God. Okay, Jesus made you right, and that's where it begins. We maintain that faith. It's by grace that you've been saved through faith. He will constantly encourage you to do the right things. Okay, I'm not saying you're not gonna, your life's not going to be cleaning up and God's doing things in your life. He will encourage you to do the right things, to live a godly life, but he did not save you because you were doing everything perfect. Okay, he didn't save you because you were all right in the beginning. He saved you so that he can now do that work in your life. In other words, you didn't win the race, remember? Okay, you didn't. Jesus won that. So why now do you think you can win the race? Why do you think you can outdo Jesus now when he couldn't outdo him before? Okay, he did. Jesus won that race. So now you just trust that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the end. He will do it all the way to the end. He saved you. That's enough. He can take me all the way to the end and do what he wants to do in your life. He didn't save you and then forget about you. He didn't, you know, save you and walk away, forget about what is going on in your life. He's with you right now. And his Holy Spirit will continually encourage you to take steps in the right direction. He will always be encouraging you to go after God, get a little bit deeper and closer with God. Okay? To completely rest in Christ Jesus, it's considered to be the purest form of faith that you can display. It means I am trusting in him for everything, not on my own understanding. Okay, remember that scripture we read before the service. We trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We don't lean on our own understanding. It means when you're resting in Christ that you're not going to be stepping out of God and stepping out of his ways and making messes. It means you're not going to be stepping out ahead of God and making messes. Okay, anybody ever done that? Something's, you got decisions to make. Boy, I'm just going to jump and hope that it was right. You know, okay? When we rest in God, we don't do that as often. To rest in God means that you will not be striving and struggling and trying to force things to happen with your own willpower. Okay? Because when I start adding my own two cents in and I start saying, you know what, God did this for me and God will show me, but I'm going to do this and that'll help God to be able to get the message to me. Okay, if I start doing this and then God will be able to speak to me better and we start performing, we start changing our life by our own willpower instead of letting God do what he needs to do. Okay, now get this, the word rest that we're talking about in the Greek, it comes from a word that means to settle down. Okay, it doesn't mean you're going to kick back and become lazy and unfruitful. It doesn't mean I don't have to do anything, I don't have to work, I just sit and wait for the paycheck to come in, even though I didn't go to work today. It doesn't work that way. It simply means settle down. Okay? It means that you're going to settle down and wait on the Lord. Okay? Wait on the Lord. You're going to focus, you're going to listen better, you're going to be able to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you and prompting you to do when you're resting in the Lord. You're settled down. Okay? I was reading a book on discernment and some other things this last week, and one of the passages is in there. It's a guy that writes basically his own proverb kind of thing. I mean, he writes a statement, and then it's based on scriptures. And one of the things he had talked about was that if we don't understand that when we start adding our own two cents in, we're going to mess it up. Okay, we're not using discernment. We're living in a place that is going to lead us into trouble. I'm not doing it justice. I'll do it on Wednesday. Show up on Wednesday. Hear that one. See, leading up to this passage that we're looking at right now, leading up to this is where God tells us to be immediately aware of the rest that is available, okay? And right before this, he outlines for us what the major hindrance is to doing that, okay? He outlines what the hindrance is to entering into the rest. Hebrews 3:12 says, "To take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." See, the major hindrance is a heart of unbelief that doesn't maintain that faith and that trust and that confidence in what Jesus Christ completed. Okay? It's when that was not enough, I need to add to it, that we begin to step aside and we hinder that rest. That hindrance is when you begin your walk by faith in Jesus, but then you begin to add your own efforts and your own works in with it. Now I must maintain what Jesus did. Okay, I have to do what he did now to stay right. God says that there is a peace and a rest for the people of God, but some don't enter into it because they don't maintain faith in the sufficiency of Christ. Okay, and what he did for us. Hebrews 3:18, a couple verses after this, says, "To whom swear that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not." So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They heard the gospel, but they didn't believe it. Okay? See, the failing to rest means that you need to remind yourself of the sufficiency of Christ. I've written books on that. I've got a sermon on it, many sermons on the sufficiency or the completion of Christ. What he did was enough, in other words. Okay, you'd be glad to share some of that. The gospel or the good news of the sufficiency of Christ was preached to them all, but only those with faith actually received and acted on it. They were brought to attention and did something about it. Hebrews 4:1, here's our scripture. "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us," this is the very next verse after what we just read, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into the rest." Okay, we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we entered into that place. But many are still laboring and struggling and striving under the burden of insecurity. They're feeling like they've never done enough, they never measure up. They're not remembering that Jesus Christ went to the cross and did what needed to be done for you. Okay, he made you accepted in the Beloved. Okay, so there's total and complete peace between you and God. Matthew and James said, or Jesus said this to us in Matthew 11. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Okay? "Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Jesus wants us to come unto him to find that rest that he has given to us. Because there is a rest for the people of God that was obtained by Jesus Christ. And we labor now not to try to please God, but we desire and we aim at and we labor to enter into that rest, that completion of what he did. Look at Hebrews 4:4, right after what we were just reading in Hebrews. It says, "For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, that God did rest the seventh day from all his works." And in this place, again, he says, "If they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief." Okay, look a couple verses down, 4:9. It says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, just as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief that he had talked about in the chapters leading up to this." For us to fully enter into the rest, we must rest like God did. Okay? And to do that, we have to truly understand why God rested from his works. Okay? In the first 6 days, he created day and night. He created the sky and the seas, the land and the vegetation. He created the stars and the sun and the moon. He created the sea creatures and the birds. And on the sixth day, he created the animals and his most prized creation, mankind. He created you and I. Then it says, on the seventh day, he rested. He did not rest because he was worn out from all of his work. He rested because the work was done. Okay? The work was finished. He did what needed to be done. He rested because it was time to rest. All the work's been done. It's now time to enter into the rest and take that day of rest. What needed to be done was done, and it was okay and good and right for him to rest. And now it is your time to rest. It is your turn. It's your time to enter into that rest. Jesus Christ has done what needed to be done for you to be right with God. And it is okay for you to trust in God's plan and trust that he did what needed to be done and enter into that rest. As Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, the very last breath that he breathed on earth, he spoke the three words that says it all. In John 19, 30, he says, "It is finished." Okay? And he bows his head and he gives up the ghost. Okay? This is the finish line. Okay? Remember where we meet Jesus to get the rest? This is the finish line right here. In fact, I would call "it is finished" as the finish line. Okay? Remember that every day and remind yourself. Jesus Christ said, "It is finished." He did what he needed to do so that we can have that rest. Okay, this is where Jesus meets you, when you congratulate him for a job well done. When you go to Jesus and thank him for all that he has done on the cross for you, this is where he turns to you and says, "All that I have done, I did for you." Okay, he did enough. John 14, 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you." And then he says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You do not have to be afraid. You do not have to fear guilt. You don't have to fear condemnation or be tormented because of the imperfections of your flesh. You can rest in the completed works of Jesus Christ. If any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father named Jesus Christ. The same guy that won the race is the same guy that can take care of what needs to be done. And he did what he did for you so that we can live out the life that he now wants for us. Okay, let's walk it out in Jesus' name. Father God, we're walking in your rest, Father. I pray for that. A consuming rest for each one of us. That we understand that you rested because the job was done. And that now you're calling us to labor, to strive to enter into that rest. To be in that place where we understand fully, totally, and completely what you did on our behalf, that you have made us right with God, that we can stand before you in peace, we can stand before you with our head held high, we can stand before you in confidence, we can approach you boldly, we can be one with you because of what you have done to make us that way. Father, we trust you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.